Radiotopia.
Welcome to the Kitchen Sisters present.
From PRX.
We're the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson
and Nikki Silva.
Hi, I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life in prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. The Kitchen Sisters Present is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sometimes you read a book and it alters the course of your life. That's what happened to Frances McDormand. Twice. First, it was Olive Kitteridge, the HBO series she produced and starred in, based on the book by Elizabeth Strout. This time, it's Nomadland.
There is only now, the new now. That's the moment so many of us find ourselves in, uprooted from our old jobs and our old neighborhoods, places we may have called home for decades. Nomads, uprooted, migrating with the seasons. Christmas near the Amazon Fulfillment Center in Virginia, the sugar beet harvest in North Dakota, cleaning latrines and being campground hosts in a national park, living in DIY customized vans, not just vans, vehicles, gathering annually at the Rubber Tramp Rendezvous with Bob Wells. They were already on the road by the thousands before the pandemic uprooted them even more. I'm your host, Frances McDormand.
Frances McDormand. Academy Award-winning actor and producer. 3 billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Fargo. Laurel Canyon. Almost Famous. Moonrise Kingdom. Fran is nothing but the truth. Along with a stunning string of Coen Brothers movies, Cameron Crowe movies, Lisa Cholodenko movies, Frances has also been the host who leads listeners through The Kitchen Sisters, NPR and PRX specials, including our latest, The Keepers, Archiving the Now. Stories of people grappling with the new now. People who rebuild, restore, reinvent. Like the people whose lives are chronicled in her new extraordinary film, Nomadland.
Hey, Fern.
Hey, Linda.
Come over and join us.
No, I'm just going to take a little walk.
Okay.
Be back soon.
Directed by Chloe Zhao, Nomadland centers on this now that so many people find themselves in. Nomadland, the first film to ever premiere at the Venice, Toronto, and Telluride film festivals all on the same night, where it took home top prizes, now comes to Hulu and select theaters and drive-ins starting February 19th, and is already screening in its raw, rugged, aching splendor at IMAX theaters around the country. Opening in that strange, inventive, rolling way that movies do in the midst of shelter in place, social distancing, a pandemic. Today, the Kitchen Sisters present Frances McDormand in Nomadland. So, Fran, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm your host, Frances McDormand, and a friend of the Kitchen Sisters, Davia and Nikki.
So what drew you to Nomadland?
The book into a film. I was given the book by a friend of mine, Peter Spears, who became my producing partner, actually. Really enjoyed the investigative journalism of Jessica Bruder.
I'm a journalist and a storyteller and somebody who also just happens to really like being out on the road. A couple of the things that I've focused on as a journalist are labor and subcultures. I didn't realize that there was this whole circuit of people who are making a living and living on the road. Many of the people I met in the beginning were kind of caught in this vise because federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. Housing costs for sticks and bricks have just kept going up. A lot of people, as I came to learn, made this amazing decision and kind of did a hack where they said, well, what if I cut out housing costs and I go mobile?
Hello everyone, welcome back to my next video. I'm going to continue my series on nomads, books for nomads. Today we're going to look at Nomad Land, a fantastic book by Jessica Bruder. I just want you to see and feel her heart, her experience, her knowledge. I consider Jessica a friend. She teaches journalism at Columbia University. She became really fascinated and decided she'd write a book, so she bought a van herself, lived in it for 3 years. She didn't just study us. She actually traveled with us. She worked as a campground host. She worked at the Beet Harvest. She worked at Amazon. So she's not just writing about being a van dweller and being a nomad. She did it.
Bob Wells is an icon in the van dwelling movement. His YouTube channel, Cheap RV Living, has over 340,000 subscribers.
Okay, forward. Nomad Land by Jessica Bruder. As I write this, they are scattered across the country. In Drayton, North Dakota, a former San Francisco cab driver, 67 years old, labors at the annual sugar beet harvest. At night, he sleeps in the van that has been his home ever since Uber squeezed him out of the taxi industry. In Campbellsville, Kentucky, a 60-year-old ex-general contractor stows merchandise during the overnight shift at an Amazon warehouse.
I saw people doing some pretty hard physical jobs, everything from cleaning campsites and campground toilets to running the rides at theme parks to working 12-hour shifts on their feet at the annual sugar beet harvest in the Red River Valley to doing pick and pack in Amazon warehouses. People who, in another era, might expect to be retired who were doing these jobs.
They're driving away from the impossible choices that face what used to be the middle class. Would you rather have food or dental work? Pay your mortgage or your electric bill? Make a car payment or buy medicine? Cover rent or student loans? You know what? That's every word of that is absolutely true. There are a lot of people who are making those decisions, and that's why you're here watching this video.
I've always been romantically interested in living mobily. I own a 16-foot Bambi Airstream trailer that I bought for myself for my 50th birthday when I was 48 because I couldn't wait. And unfortunately, for better or worse, it has been stationary for the last 15 years because I can't haul anything. I'd cause great havoc and alarm to the public if I tried to haul something. I've always been attracted to the idea of being able to just camp and move around in a vehicle. But that is a romantic idea, which is what I found out after reading the book. When you're actually doing it and your vehicle is your primary place of residence, it's a lot less romantic than I ever imagined.
You can't give yourself a raise, but what about cutting your biggest expense? Trade a stick and brick domicile for life on wheels. And how many of times have I said these exact words to you?
When the light bulb went on, like, yeah, I am going to do this movie. How did you find your way to your director?
Well, it was this extraordinary synchronicity. Peter and I and Chloe Zhao, who ended up being the director, we were all on what I call the convention circuit, going through the film festival circuit and the awards circuit. Peter was the producer of Call Me By Your Name. I had just been in 3 Billboards, Martin McDonagh's film, and Chloe Zhao had The Rider. This synchronicity of me meeting Peter, him giving me the book, I saw The Rider. I quickly tried to find out as much as I could about Chloe's other films.
No more writing, no more rodeos.
Some guys, they get scared to get on again, and then they end up becoming farmers. Keep that right, Brady.
The two films that Chloe made before Nomadland, she made on a Native American reservation in North Dakota. And she moved into those communities and met people and created these characters and stories from the people she met. I said, Peter, I think the way this woman makes movies is a really good partnership with this world, this movement of people.
Because I wanted to make films on the reservation, it was really important to cast people that can bring the authenticity to the characters. I have a world already. The world is there, the character's there, and I am imagining a scenario that they could be in. It's not really documentary, it's not really fiction.
Director Chloe Zhao.
Having moved to America, I have spent a lot of time on my own, on the road, in the heartland, camping in my Subaru Outback, in campsites, and in BLM land, national parks. Those experiences shaped me as a filmmaker today. I wouldn't be making the kind of films I did if I didn't travel those roads. And when I read Jessica's book, I realized the world of nomadic living is so expansive and colorful.
Describe your character. Describe who you turned out to be in the landscape of all this.
Fern has spent the last 30-some years in a small factory town. The factory's been closed, her husband has died, and she has to start again somewhere, and she chooses to live mobily rather than staying in Empire, staying in a town near where she had been for 30 years. Store all her things and build out the back of an Econoline van and start doing migrant work.
She's had a very prescribed set of rules living in Empire. Once she hits the road, the possibilities become open and her sense of self-sufficiency is tested.
Okay, what we've got is parts and labor, $2,300.
I just looked up the value on your van. With that high a mileage, you're looking about $5,000 at the most.
I'd probably recommend taking that money and putting it towards a different vehicle.
Yeah, so no, well, I can't do that. I can't do that, see, because, all right. I spent a lot of time and money building the inside out, and a lot of people don't understand the value of that, but it's not something like we can... I live in there. It's my home.
Fern is a complete fictional character. It's not in the book at all. The creation of the character Fern, my collaboration with Fran, many, many of the things in Fern's character is Fran in real life.
Here's a story about Fern. Probably 20 years ago, I said to Joel, my husband, someday when I turn 65, I'm going to change my name to Fern. I'm going to get an RV. I'm going to start smoking Lucky Strikes.
I think it was the first meeting she said, you know, when I hit this age, I'm going to change my name to Fern. I smoke Lucky Strikes and drink Wild Turkey and hit the road. And I said, that's what the character should be called, right? Fern. And she's like, okay. I think so much is a collaboration with Fran. It's so much of her in that character. All these photographs you see in the film, they're from Fran's real life.
She spent days with me here. And we talked about my life, and she saw the way I lived, the way I dressed, the way I talked, the way I ate, what I smoked, and that became a part of Fern.
When we were prepping, she came back from the Salvation Army, is like, I found the costume! And she just got the dress. She was doing her own makeup, cutting her hair, helping me with the script, and also, like, casting was, she brought in cast, and it was a collage of characters from Jessica's book, people we just met in the desert randomly, and also people from Fran's life. The casting of that character's sister, one of Fran's best friends, Melissa Smith, they went to college acting school together, you know, and Dave is Fran's neighbor, you know, it's so much of her in that character. That process excites me.
We thought it would be a completely fictional scripted feature, but then the more we talked with Chloe, she became more interested in kind of a hybrid where myself and a couple other professional actors would be playing characters alongside the non-professional people who were from the Van Dweller community.
Hi everyone from my next vlog. It's a rainy, cold day here in Quartzsite, Arizona.
There's a man named Bob Wells who is a poet philosopher and also in the film. He has a YouTube presence.
I led a class today on boondocking and how to camp for free on public land.
After he decided to live mobily in his van, he started meeting people, women on the road, who needed to know more about the practical safety tips of camping on city streets, camping in the wilderness, and how to change tires and how to work on your van.
And most of the videos I've been shooting have been women who are, and mostly women, because, why women? Because it's women who are hitting Social Security and have no money. And they're the ones who are being forced into cars more than men. So that's why you see more women in my videos.
So he started this YouTube, and then he also started what's called the Rubber Tramp Rendezvous, which is a event in Quartzsite, Arizona that a lot of the van dwellers go to. Thousands of people out in the desert once a year. The Tramp Rendezvous is a tradition of the fur trappers. They used to get together once a year to trade their things and to meet with people, and there'd be a lot of drinking and dancing and sharing of things. And the rubber tramp is, you know, they're rubber tramps. They're the tramps with wheels.
The RTR is a boot camp for beginner nomads who need help now. I've lost my apartment. I'm being evicted. What do I do? If you're going to be forced into your car, how much better to go and meet a group of people who are also living in their cars and minivans and vans and have them help you and support you and show you, okay, let's fold your seat down and lay it out like this and we'll put a board on it. I'll help you cut the board. And that way you can have a flat level bed. You need this to get water, or this is how you're going to have to go to the bathroom while you're living in your car.
They have really fascinating seminars. Some of them are depicted in the movie about kits that you can get to fix your tires, how to build cabinets for your van, the different sizes of spackle buckets that you use as a toilet, ways to park on a city street politely and cleanly and stealthily without being moved on in the middle of the night by the police.
I always time the Rubber Tramp Rendezvous around the big tent. Fenders, they will come and they will hire for the coming work season in the summer. If you come, you can probably get a job at the big tent.
It's a place of commune, and they also have a barter system. They have a big free pile. I put in potholders that I was making while we were filming. I made potholders all the time and passed them out to people. I put some in the free pile. It's great. Share things.
Director Chloe Zhao.
For me, it has always been a challenge. How do I create a character and a journey that can seamlessly incorporate all these amazing moments that Jessica was able to capture in her book?
Chloe Zhao, the director, her methodology is that she'll ask someone to tell, like Swanky, for instance, to tell her story. And part of Swanky's story is that she has kayaked in all of the 50 states of the United States of America. She took that story and some of the stories that Swanky told her about her adventures as a van dweller and then crafted a monologue about a woman who had done all those things but was at the end of her life and ready to be at the end of her life because she'd lived a life well lived. That was the part, of course, that is not true of Swanky because she's alive and well and doing just fine.
Describe Swanky's setup.
Swanky has a great rig. Swanky lives in an Econo line that she built out herself. It has solar power. All of them have very practical kitchens, usually with a hot plate, refrigerator, sometimes just a cooler. One of the things that's very much a part of Swanky's rig is her pirate flag. If her pirate flag is flying, you don't bother her.
What?
It's Fern, Swanky. It's Fern. Hey, hi.
Didn't you see the flag?
Yeah.
That means I don't want to be disturbed.
I know.
Oh.
I need a ride to town.
Well, why?
I blew my tire.
Well, go change it.
I don't have a spare.
You don't have a spare? You're on the boondocks and you don't have a spare? You can die out here. You're out in the wilderness, far away from anybody. You can die out here. Don't you understand that? You have to take it seriously. You have to have a way to get help. You have to be able to change your own tire.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Frankie.
A friend of mine who saw the film when we had a friend and family screening, he interviewed me. He got out his tape recorder after he saw the film and he said, I would like to ask some questions.
I just want to say that we are here with Fletcher and Frances McDormand speaking about the film Nomadland.
That's it.
What do you want to ask me, Fletcher?
Okay, author.
It was based on a journalistic nonfiction book by Jessica Bruder, who spent a lot of time with the Nomads and wrote a book called Nomadland, which I read. It was given to me by my producing partner, Peter Spears, and we optioned the book.
You're answering all my questions.
Around the same time, I'd seen Chloe Zhao's movie, The Rider. Have you ever seen it, Fletcher? You
Daytime.
Love it. We loved it. We got in touch with her. She read it and felt the same way. And the way that she makes movies is so documentary style and so real life.
Unscripted.
Unscripted, which was a big learning curve for us because I only know how to do movies that have scripts. I become other people and learn other words. But in this instance, the adventure she was offering us was just going out and seeing what came up.
What I was interested in is that there's some people that follow this lifestyle that prefer to be alone, and they're good at being alone, and it's a solitary life. Often they're camping on Bureau of Land Management land out in the desert and can be quite alone. Even though I was traveling with an extraordinary group of young filmmakers, there were 25 of us that traveled together while we were making the film, I still instinctually knew that I needed to stay to myself. Even when we were recreating our own Rubber Tramp Rendezvous for the film, I tended to stay to myself and listen rather than seek people out. So I found out a little bit something about my own character on the road. A major character in the film is the natural environment, because people who live mobily travel through and live in beautiful parts of our country. National parks, national forests, Bureau of Land Management land. To be able to experience Fern's journey through that landscape, I think is really cathartic for people right now.
The way we're trying to tell the story of Fern so much is that how the nature heals her and how she sort of become one with nature. And so when I was looking for music, I was just worried that if I don't have the right kind of music, it might change that delicate thing that we're trying to capture. I literally Googled beautiful classical music inspired by nature. One of the first things that popped up was Ludvico's Elegy for the Arctic. You gotta check it out, it's a YouTube video. He played the piano on a floating platform in the Arctic Ocean. As he's playing, the whole ice is falling off behind him, creating that crazy kind of vibration, that sound, and his piano just merged beautifully. And then so I started listening to his 7 days walking, inspired by each day him walking through the Alps. And as I'm listening, I see no difference between him walking through the Alps and Fern walking through the Badlands, even though these are two completely different people, a different size of world. That understanding of nature will unite the experience.
Is Fern a guide? Is Fern a docent? Is Fern a narrator?
I think docent is a really great word for it, because you have to be trained to do that.
It's someone who voluntarily trains.
If you're taking someone,
there's something yearning about a docent. There's someone who still wants to learn more. There's no end to the process of being a docent. That's what Chloe does with the filmmaking and uses me as Fern, or me, Fern, because I am Fern, as the docent of the story.
for the viewer. Please. Were you guiding us?
Absolutely.
Was a docent, you were replete in saying, these are the people. This is the situation. This is where we are.
It's been many years.
We finished shooting the film 2 years ago, and then Chloe was given the opportunity to direct another film, and she had to go to that right away. We were not sure when she was going to be able to finish the editing, because she also edits the film. Serendipitously, there's the serendipity again. That film that she was doing had to shut down when the pandemic began, and she took the opportunity to finish our film. It's not to say that the film would not have resonated before the pandemic, but there's something about the catharsis that it's allowing audiences. People are feeling really vulnerable, and they're feeling very isolated. People are seeking stories of anyone and everyone, and there's something about this story that's really resonating for people who have been isolated from other people.
As I write, it is autumn. Soon, winter will come. Routine layoffs will start at the seasonal jobs. The nomads will pick up camp and return to their real home, the road, moving like blood cells through the veins of the country. Oh man, I love that sentence. Let me read that to you again. Hey, listen carefully to the sentence.
There's a contagious feeling.
Something nomads big will pick is up happening. Camp the country is changing rapidly. The old structures were like crumbling away. And they're at the epicenter of something new. Around a shared campfire in the middle of the night, it can feel like a glimpse of utopia. Man, that's just, it's just true. So thanks for watching. I hope you enjoyed the video. Tell all your friends there's a better life. Do not settle for a mediocre life. As much as food or shelter, we require hope. And there is hope on the road.
Hey,
Bert. Hey, Linda.
No, I'm just going to take a little walk. Be back soon.
Frances McDormand in Nomadland was produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, in collaboration with Fletch Fletcher, Nathan Dalton, and Brandy Howell. Recorded and mixed by Jim McKee. Our thanks to Chloe Zhao, Jessica Bruder, Ludovico Einaudi, Barry Johnson and Jacqueline Silverman, and Searchlight Pictures, Simon Halls, Tom Luddy and Julie Hunsinger in the Telluride Film Festival, the New York Film Festival, the Toronto Film Festival, C-SPAN, and Bob Wells' YouTube channel, Cheap RV Living. Special thanks to Frances McDormand. Funding for our stories comes from PRX, the National Endowment for the Humanities, the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks, the Robert Sillins Family Foundation, and listener contributions to the Kitchen Sisters Productions. If you'd like to support our stories, internships, and mentoring program, visit our website, kitchensisters.org. We appreciate your spirit and support. The Kitchen Sisters Present is part of the Radiotopia Podcast Network from PRX. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Stay steady. We're in this together.
Radiotopia.